Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, hosted by me, Dr. John Wales. This is the place to be for insurance brokers, agents, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, the place to be for insurance brokers, agencies, and agents, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Today's industry expert is the founder and president of Inspire a Nation Business Mentoring Services, America's best insurance agent and small business coaching and mentoring company. He is also CEO of the Williams Family Investment Group, a group of more than 150 partnering agencies that produce over $1 billion a year in new and renewal insurance premiums. He is joining us today to help us improve our agencies by educating us on the top 20 most effective marketing tools that many of us are using incorrectly. I would like to welcome to the huddle the CEO of the Williams Family Investment Group and successful author and speaker, Dr. Billy Williams. Welcome to the huddle.
Hey, thank you so much. One of the things I want to stress, guys, I'm not going to give you tools necessarily. I'm going to give you the campaigns that we have found and verified produce the best sales results. As you know, John, most agents, their big nemesis is that they don't market enough. They don't know how to market. They don't market enough, and they're not sure what works, what doesn't work. So that's what we're going to break down today.
What we see in the industry, especially new agents as they're getting into the business, is that they think, okay, I worked really hard. I passed my test. Now the insurance business is going to magically land on my doorstep.
Yeah, that's not the way it works. That's not reality. Just because you put a sign up doesn't mean that they're going to come. It's not the whole build it and they will come thing that you see on TV. That's not reality for us. And the reason why is because there's so many insurance agents, agencies. I mean, on every corner, on every strip mall, there's an insurance agent. So how do you stand out? How do you identify yourself compared to everyone else without understanding marketing?
That's true. One of my coaches told me that you need to become remarkable and understand what that word means. It means being worthy of being remarked about. And he also said that you need to figure out which marketing programs are aligned with the specific niche that you're going after.
Absolutely. And that's the first thing. That's the, you know, everybody get out your pencil, paper, you know, be prepared to take notes, your phones, whatever you're taking notes on. Your first note is that you need to have two or three very specific niches. I'm from the South, so I say niches, but two or three very specific niches that are the foundation of your agency. I know people want to be a jack of all trades and, you know, all this other stuff. Guys, auto and home is a category. It is not a niche. Okay, personal lines is a category. It is not a niche. So even in personal lines, you say auto and home, you need to niche it. You need to say, I write auto and home for homeowners whose homes are worth more than $300,000 or for homeowners who have a teenage driver in the house. By making that little distinction, you now become memorable. And that's something that most agents are not. They're not memorable. So your coach said remarkable. My thing is always be memorable and memorable to not only the customer, but to the people who refer the customer to you. If I'm a loan processor and you have a $300,000 home and a 17-year-old driver, my memory is instantly jogged and go, oh, that's what Billy does. He specializes in new homeowners with a teenage driver in the house. Here, let me introduce you to him. Most agents are not memorable.
I agree. I was at an insurance convention and we were attending it online and all I saw was a sea of logos. And throughout the discussion, it was, what do you do? Oh, I sell property and casualty insurance, or I specialize in auto. I sell homeowners insurance. And when it got to my turn, I said, I specialize in insuring tough risks as far as casinos and hotels. And I was trying to be very specific rather than just being vanilla. And I wholeheartedly agree that people's business aren't going to take off until you know the exact market you want to be and what you want to be when you grow up.
Exactly. I mean, not just that, but you don't become an expert. You're trying to be an expert in 45 different things. You know, if we just took it out of insurance and took it to sports. So, Billy, what sport do you specialize in? Oh, I play them all. I play tiddlywinks, and I play cricket, and I play basketball, and I play football, and I play da-da-da. Well, I'm not going to be a pro in any of those. I'm not going to be a professional athlete in any of those, because at some point, I have to niche the sport. I have to say I'm a professional basketball player that plays golf. I'm a professional basketball player that enjoys tennis. It's a difference. But we don't do that. We don't think like that in the insurance industry. We think we can be a professional athlete at all sports simultaneously.
So what advice can you give our listeners to help us focus on our niche?
Pick what you enjoy most. What would you do if someone gave you $1 million and said you can only do what you enjoy? What would you do? So for me, as an example, my niche was making sure that I did something with investments. I love investments. From the time I was a kid, I wanted to know how money worked, all those different things. So for me, when I got into the insurance industry, the first policies I actually wrote were not auto and home. Even though I was a captive Allstate agent, I was writing things like fixed annuity, accident and disability policies, long-term care policies, things that impacted the financial livelihood of people that I was talking to. You know what I mean? And so pick a niche based on what you love. If you love fishing, guess what? There's a market out there for fishermen. If you love casinos, like what you did, not that you love casinos, but that was your, I'm not saying John has a gambling problem. No, what I'm saying is John had a niche, the casinos, that was his thing. He knew the language, he knew the walk, and he could talk the talk. Guys, some of you motorcycle riders, but you don't sell motorcycle insurance. Some of you are out on the boat every weekend, but you don't sell boating insurance. Some of you love dogs and volunteer your time at a kennel or at a shelter, but you don't sell pet insurance. That doesn't make sense to me. I always say, find what you love, and then find the carrier that sells the insurance to the things you love.
I think a lot of our agents are afraid that if they get too specific, that they may be cutting out opportunities that may come their way. And I haven't found that to be the case. Have you?
No, not at all. In fact, what happens is you cast a net, right? And it's a really tight net. And now all of a sudden, guess what gets caught in your net? Whale, the shark, you know, the swordfish, all those get caught in your net. Even though you're out there throwing a net, trying to catch this type of fish, the big fish end up falling in, and more of the little fish fall in. But once you're known for something, people will accept you for anything. Okay. That's one of the things I know. Once you're known for something, people can accept you for anything. So at the end of the day, let's be honest, Kim Kardashian could sell a hell of a lot more insurance than you and I combined. Right. And she doesn't know anything about insurance, but she's known for something. And so people will accept her word pretty much for anything that she promotes. Well, our agents aren't known for anything, but we want everyone to take our word for everything. So no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it goes back to the, hey, look, I have a license. Yep. I equated that, you know what? How many people out there have a driver's license, but don't drive very well?
Right.
So it's the same thing in insurance. You may have
They're not professional truckers just because you got a driver's license.
Exactly. And how many insurance agents do you know that have a license but haven't educated themselves on the product and then again are expecting policies to immediately land in their lap, and then they get frustrated when they realize that this is a job. I mean, you have to work. You have to work your agency and work your book of business in order to show the best value to your clients and prospects.
Absolutely. And they don't do that. They just, for whatever reason, they just don't do that. They think in their mind that it's just something, like you said, I have the license. So, but anyway, I know they're here for the, you know, they're like, you guys quit talking and get to the fluff of what we're doing here. So I want to make sure that we are doing that we're getting to exactly what we said we were going to get to.
All right. Let's get back to I use the term marketing tools and that was incorrect. But what are some of the most effective marketing techniques and coaching tips that you can give our agencies? Something that will help give us the kick in the rear that we need to really expand what we're doing.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the 20 best marketing campaign, right, that we have in our repertoire. Now, these are all based on the verified sales numbers from the partner agencies of the Williams Family Investment Group, right? And we have over 170 partners, and we track every lead, we track every close, we track everything, and then we take the best of that and we break it down into our top 20. So I'm going to share our top 20 with you. But before I do that, I want to make sure you guys understand there are four types of disciplines that it takes for you to really be successful in insurance. Okay. Four types of disciplines. Number one, self-discipline. But self-discipline is based on your emotion. So it always lets you down. Self-discipline always fails you. Let's get that straight, because it's tied to your emotion. Number two is accountability. Accountability means letting someone else know what you're doing, not hiding out in the dark, but letting someone else know and letting someone else influence your actions. That's why people who go to the gym and partners tend to do better than people who go to the gym by themselves. That's why when you start a project and you got a partner within that project, the project tends to go further than if you try to do it by yourself. So accountability. Number three, automation and technology. You need to utilize automation and technology. Think of each piece of automation and each piece of technology as an employee. And so what do you want that employee to do? What are you hiring that employee to do? And then you'll realize that you're probably not utilizing your automation and technology as effectively as you could utilize it. Number four, outsourcing it. If you won't do it, you won't hold someone else accountable for doing it, you won't automate it, then pay someone else to do it. Pay another company to do it, because you're losing money. You're losing money because it's not being done, okay? So make sure that, guys, no matter what I'm teaching you today, you practice those four types of discipline. Self-discipline, accountability, automation and technology, and outsourcing. All right. So, John, let's go ahead and jump into this. So I'm going to start with number 20 and work my way up to number one. So number 20 for us was newsletters. The way our newsletters got the biggest traction was we featured customer claim stories. So we would feature, and within the newsletter, here's what happened. We wouldn't necessarily name the customer, but here's what, and we'd show what happens if you have the right coverage, and we'd show what happens if you have the wrong coverage or you were uninsured because of a decision you made, right? Because we're going to offer you the best, but you may decide that's not what you want to pay for. So those stories always got the best response. Customer profiles and customer businesses that we profile. Those were always the second best in the newsletter. And then shared local events and activities, things that were coming up when we helped to kind of, we were almost a source of information for the community. So those worked really, really well. So from a newsletter standpoint, those are the things. If you're going to do a newsletter, don't just make it about, I sell home insurance, I sell auto insurance, I sell whatever. Show how your insurance is really benefiting people by showing my customer had a claim, but because he was properly insured or she was properly insured, here's how it worked out. Where there was another customer of maybe another agency that had a same or similar situation, but they were uninsured or they were underinsured, and so it didn't work out. Those are the ones that customers really want to hear about. That was number 20. Number 19 is the birthday outreach campaign. Everyone has a birthday. So we call people on their birthday and we're very specific. We say, hey, happy birthday. You know you got a special day coming up. We just want to remind you, if you buy or receive something expensive for your birthday, please make sure that you call and see if we need to add it to your insurance policy. So that outreach to customers is amazing. But guess what we found out, John? When we did that same outreach to prospects, 80% of them had no clue who their agent was. So we'd call and go, hey, we know you got a very special day coming up. Wish you a happy birthday. By the way, if you buy or receive something expensive, make sure you call and add it to your insurance, you know, so that it's covered. And they go, well, can't I just add it now? And I go, well, we're not your insurance agency. You're not? No, we just called to wish you happy birthday. Oh, who is my insurance agent? who is my insurance agency? So, John, what we found, they didn't even know who their people were. So we actually get a lot of business that way just by calling to wish prospects, people we've quoted in the past, happy birthday. Does that make sense, John?
It's amazing how well that works. When we would call out, people wouldn't even know who their agent was. They didn't even know what policies they had. And in many times, they had zoned out and weren't even aware of what they were paying for the insurance, for what coverage. And that really blew me away because, you know, it goes back to being, you know, rememberable. If you called any customer of ours, they knew who their agent was and they knew what their coverage was, because there were times that I would sit them down and I would force the information down that throat, even if they didn't want to know it, because I wanted to make sure that my customers were protected in the way that they needed to be.
Sometimes that's what you have to do. Okay. So number 18, QR code marketing. QR codes, you know, they were really big for a while, then they went away. But when COVID came, QR codes came back. If you go to your favorite restaurant right now, they probably aren't giving you a paper menu. They're probably telling you to scan a QR code. Well, QR codes are really, really popular and they're really good. They're easy. And you can use those QR codes to put on yard signs, which is our number 16. But anyway, sticking with number 18. QR codes, you can put them on your brochures, you can put them on your office sign, you can put them on your window, you can put them wherever, and you can drive them to wherever, you can drive a customer or prospect to wherever you want. You want to drive them to your website, drive them to your quote engine, drive them to CoverWallet, drive them to, you know, wherever you want to drive them, you can drive them to that particular location just by them using their QR code. So that was number 18 for us. Number 17, door-to-door marketing and door hangers. Door-to-door marketing, we would go business to business, hand out brochures, hand out flyers, not going in and try to sell, simply saying, hey, we're an agent in the area. Just want to make you aware that we're here. Here's my brochure. If you have any questions, I'm down the hall, I'm down the street, I'm down whatever, give us a call. And then door hangings were for neighborhoods. We actually would hire companies to go out and put out our door hangings. Of course, what was on that door hanging? A QR code, a phone number, all those particular things that people could scan that QR code and see a video about or something like that. But those are the tools that we were using. That's number 17. Number 16 is yard sign marketing. And yard sign marketing for us, just like you would see a pool sign, roofer sign or whatever, whenever we write a brand new customer, we ask, hey, can we put our company sign up in your yard for a week or two? We'll give you a $25 restaurant.com gift certificate. Just simply saying this home is now protected by blank, blank, blank insurance agency. And what's on that sign? A phone number, a QR code, you know, that led them to a video about us or something like that. And we would stick that yard sign out there and it still worked. So that was number 16 for us. I do want to stress, John, that guys, Inspire Nation Business Mentoring is a mentoring company. Okay. We're not consultants, we're mentors. The difference is a consultant works with people who do what you do. A mentor does what you do. We just do it at a different level. But a lot of these things, I know guys are going to have questions about it, John. So I just want to make sure they know they can go to inspireanation.org, inspireanation.org, and find out about some of these resources. Okay. So 16 was yard sign. 15 is non-paid YouTube videos. And I say non-paid because I'm not saying paid ads. That comes a little higher. But non-paid YouTube videos. The ones that work best were the problem-solving videos. The one where we talked about claims. The ones where we pointed out if you don't have this coverage. Claims is always a real hot spot within the education world for insurance. But agents want to focus on price instead of focus on what the whole industry was built around, which is if you were to have a claim. But you put out a video and you talk about claims that happen in your agency, claims maybe that you found on the internet, situations that happen. You know, you can look up insurance lawsuits on Google. I was going to say .com, but you can look up insurance lawsuits and see all these different lawsuits that are happening or insurance claims and see claims that are happening. When you put out a YouTube video about those work really, really well. So problem solving video content. What were we going to say, John?
Remember, the insurance company is going to try their best to keep from paying your claim. As your agent, it's my job to write the policy in a way that makes them have to.
Absolutely. That best protects your quality of life. All insurance agents have one job, offer the coverage that best protects a customer's quality of life should they ever have to file a claim. Okay, that's the mantra we live. So number 14, customer referrals. And the reason why it's so low, you would think customer referrals would be number two, number three, something like that, but those are not scalable. So customer referrals are highly effective, but they're not scalable. I don't know when a customer is going to send me a referral. I don't know when 10 customers are going to send me a referral. So therefore, when we look at our numbers and we look at everything, they're highly effective. The close rate on them is pretty darn good, but I can't scale it. That's why it's number 14. Now, along with those referrals, customer reviews on Google. So 14 is really a combination. It's customer referrals, which are direct for referrals, but then customer reviews on Google, Nextdoor, and Angie's List. So Nextdoor, are you familiar, John, with the Nextdoor app?
Yep, I use it all the time.
Exactly. If I were trying to get into a million-dollar neighborhood, that is probably the easiest way for me to get into that neighborhood is to have someone on that Nextdoor app associated with that neighborhood mention my name or mention my service. That's probably the best way to get in. But when we talk about reviews, don't just rely on Google. Google is the number one. Don't get me wrong. Google is the mainstay. But Nextdoor and Angie's List produce some really good results as well. Number 13 is when we get into social networking. Now, social networking is broad. It's not just I'm going to post something and hope that people see it. For us, it's about contacts that we make on social networking. It's about the content that we put out on social networking and tagging our contacts so that they will help spread the social networking. So if you're putting something out there about home, about auto, about renters, about whatever else, don't think the fact that you put something out there is going to just dazzle people and you're going to have 500 people comment on, oh yeah, I love renters insurance. That crap's not going to happen. Okay, that's not reality. But if you put out some content and then you tag 10 or 15 key influencers, people that have a lot of followers or your own business leaders or your own customers that have a lot of followers and ask them to share that content, now you're going to get exponentially more traction out of. But we'd love to do that. Another thing when it comes to social networking, which I could just do a whole class on social networking. Another thing is groups, not just joining insurance groups, but joining groups where your prospects live. If you're going after casinos, somewhere out there, there's a group on Facebook or LinkedIn that's dedicated to casino employees, casino managers, casino owners, casino management companies. And so your job is to join those groups and then put out valuable information that benefits those groups. So if I could join, and I'm just, again, I don't know, but if I'm looking for casinos, I would find a group of leaders within the casino industry. Then I would put out something about claims that happened within the casino industry and say, guys, is this something, guys or gals, is this something that you could be faced with? Well, I'm an expert at this. Give me a call if you have a question. Not just let me sell you something, but let me show you my expertise and let me explain why I'm a person that you need to know. I'm a person that needs to be memorable and remarkable to what you're trying to do.
In the casino world, you know, if you try and search the Facebook groups for casino owners, you're not going to get a lot of hits because they're all hidden groups. But the more I became a subject matter expert and people started referring me, I started receiving invitations to join those groups.
When you become a subject matter expert, people love to pay and connect with the expert, pure and simple. So the key is, how do you show your expertise? And you do that by solving problems. That's what experts do. Experts solve problems. A lot of times people don't even know they have a problem. So one of the things that we try to make sure is, here's the claim. Here's how we solved it. Here's how we fixed it. Are you in the same situation? If you are, you need to talk to the expert because that's what I'm good at. And then, of course, social networking, there are the ads, all those particular things. Again, I could do a whole class on social networking, but that was number 13 for us with social networking. Number 12 was content marketing. Now, what's the difference between social networking and content marketing? Content marketing could be books that I've written, ebooks, audio books, written content on my website, blog posts that I've done, an FAQ page on my website, downloadable resources. Maybe I put together a brochure, I put together a PDF, and I ask you to download it if you want to do this. Checklists are phenomenal. People love checklists because they like measuring themselves against things, right? So checklists are really, really good to have out there as well. Don't think because you have a quote box on your website that everybody's just going to click it and go, oh, let me click on the quote box. Yes, while it's content, it's not high value unless I need a quote from you. Whereas some of these other things I mentioned are very high value. Having a blog so that, again, you can show your expertise. And that blog can be on your website or off your website. It doesn't matter. Those are the kind of things that you can do from a content marketing. Also, even what you're doing right here, podcasts, webinars, live events, all that is a, even though it's an event, it's still content. So all of that still works. Now, events are separate. We put that as a separate activity than just content. But yeah, agents, you need to be an expert. You need to be memorable. You need to be remarkable. And part of that is putting out great content, not just carrier content, but you putting out content like the newsletter, like blog posts, like webinars, podcasts, things like that, that really show people your expertise. Number 11 for us was outbound telemarketing, but we were very specific about the outbound telemarketing that we did. Number one for us was property X dates, okay? Property X dates. Now, of course, if you're in the commercial world, that's going to be a commercial X date, or that's going to be a workers' comp X date, or, what, or you know, whatever that X date is. People are only interested in insurance when insurance is necessary. Let's be honest, right? It's not something that most people pay attention to until it's time to pay attention to it. An X date or expiration date is the time that people start paying attention. So for commercial, we start 90 to 75 days before the expiration date or earlier, depending on the what the risk is and how hard or difficult it is to write. With personal lines, we start about 60 days prior. And I start before they get their renewal because I want to discuss what they need, not what they want to pay for. So we're really, it's really important that when we start contacting our prospects and even our own customers, that we try to contact them before they have the renewal. Because if they have the renewal, the only thing they want to talk about is the price. But if I can get them to have a meeting or a discussion with me before the renewal, now I can talk about coverage, benefits, value, all those particular things. But that was number 11 for us, was outbound telemarketing, starting with X dates. And then we went with our quoted not sold list, people that we quoted in the past, but we didn't sell them. And then we went with our former customer list, people that were with us, but had left us for whatever reason. I already have a relationship with those folks, so it's easier to reach out to those folks. So that was number 11 for us. Number 10 was postal mail. Starting with postcards, letters are not even close to as effective as a postcard. You have to read a postcard to even know to throw it away. So postcards were the best of the postal mail for us, and then letters, and then we consider door hangings as part of that postal mail as well. Number 9 was our paid marketing ads. Google, of course, led the victory there. The Google pay-per-click, even though they're the most expensive, they are the most effective from what we found. Followed by radio, not TV, but radio. And I think the difference is because we can go very specific on radio. I can go out to, you know, if I'm a conservative and I want to push the conservative agenda and I want to deal with conservative people, there's a radio station for that. If I'm a liberal, there's a radio station for that. If I'm top 40, there's a radio station. If I'm talk news, there's a radio station for that. So radio was, from the paid marketing, was actually much more effective than Facebook or, you know, any of that other stuff like that. Much more effective than TV even, you know, radio was much more effective.
Radio was good. It was, for me, I had to figure out how to get the name recognition in the commercial. And then how did I work in the call to action? Because if I didn't have a call to action in the radio ad, people knew who I was. People knew who knew what I did, but people didn't necessarily know what I expected them to do.
Exactly. And so when you're doing that, you got to have very specific, like you said, very specific call to actions, you know, which we normally are go here to our site to download this checklist to see if you are covered the way that you need to be covered. Go to our website to get this. I want them to take an intermediate action before they do a quote, because I want them to understand my value. If it's go to our site to get a quote, then the only thing they're going to do is go to your site when they want a quote, or if they want a quote. But if I can get them to my site to take an intermediate step, you know, go to download a checklist, go to look at our free calculator, go to find out what we're doing here, go to, you know, whatever that is. If I can get them to take an intermediate step, then we'll do that. Go to watch our 30-minute recorded webinar that we did on how to best protect or cover that particular risk that you have that's unique to you. If you're a fisherman, go out and listen to our 10-minute conference call that we had with other fishermen on finding the best insurance to cover your fishing boat or your fishing tackle or your fishing gear, things like that. So if I can get them to take an intermediate step before quoting, then I know that they're going to see my expertise, and I stand a much better chance of getting a quote. That's what I've discovered.
That is gold advice right there. Because how many of us, when we first start, we're immediately trying to drive people, get a quote, get a quote, get a quote, when we're not even qualifying our prospects to see if our quote would be beneficial.
Absolutely. And we're not qualifying our expertise either. And then, of course, there are other ones on the paid marketing ads, like, you know, the Facebooks and all those. But we also found that those directories that I mentioned earlier, Nextdoor, Angie's List, doing a paid ad in those, now I can get into the specific neighborhoods that I want to get into. So if there's a $5 million, a $10 million, $20 million neighborhood, and I want to get into that neighborhood, I can't put out door hangings. I can't go knock on doors. Hell, that's gated. I can't even get in there. And I may not know anyone who can refer me into that neighborhood, but I can go on Nextdoor. I can go on Angie's List and say, I specialize in this community and insuring properties within this community, or insuring the risk within the community. So yeah, those are paid ads that we really strong on those. And of course, if we're talking commercial, which CoverWallet is all commercial, magazines and association periodicals and things like that, we definitely want to be in those. All right, definitely want to be in those. If you're going after accountants, if you're going after architects, if you're going after whatever, you got to go where they live. And they live in those periodicals. They live in those quarterly magazines, monthly magazines. So I definitely want to do some type of advertising in that. Number 8 was signage and business cards, both our visible signs, you know, our shingle that we hang out, but even the paper cards that we give out. And on the back of those business cards, that's real estate, okay? And there should be something on the back of that card that with a call to action. I know on the back of my business cards, it says, if you would like to listen to a free conference call that we did on how to drive agents and how to help agents grow their business, here's the number. So that business card actually has a call to action on the back of it, that real estate that's on the back of it. So paper business cards, but also our electronic. I have an electronic business card that plays a 90-second video right inside of the electronic business card. So when I text it over to you, click on the link, it opens up, it actually plays a video, and then there's a button that says save to contact. And so that gets us a lot of traffic, and all of our agencies, of course, have that. But signage and business cards was number 8. Number 7, X-Date outreach marketing. You know, before we said telemarketing, this is X-Date outreach to our quoted not sold, former customers, property, you know, X-Dates, loan officers that we know we closed a deal at this time, whatever that X-Date is. But this time we use what I call PETS. P-E-T-S, phone, postal mail. So the P stands for phone and postal mail. The E is for email and events. That event could be a webinar, a conference call, a podcast. E, of course, is email. So E is either email or events. The T is text messaging. So text messaging is huge. Hopefully you guys are getting permission to text message from your customers and prospects. The S is social networking. So whenever I'm looking at a marketing campaigns, I want to make sure my pets are taken care of. Phone, postal mail, email, events, text messaging, and social networking. If I remember take care of your pets and you've got campaigns associated with them, then X-Date outreach marketing is going to be phenomenal for you. Number 6, starts to get a little more expensive. Warm transfer calls. If you won't make the call, remember we talked about the four disciplines: self-discipline, accountability, automation, technology, and outsourcing. If you won't make the call because you don't have the self-discipline to sit down and make phone calls from 6 to 8, if you won't let someone hold you accountable or you won't hold someone else accountable, if automation and technology just isn't producing the leads that you need, then outsource it. And that's what a warm transfer call is. That's a company that's doing all of the things that you won't do, and you're paying them to get it done. Okay. So that's a warm transfer call. That's number 6. Number 5 is purchased internet leads, whether that's real-time leads, aged internet leads, or super aged internet leads. An aged internet lead for us is something between 0 and 90 days. A super aged lead is something that's 365 days or older. And we say 365 because the person's coming up for renewal again. Maybe we didn't get them the first time, but we got them. And when it came up again, and we came around again, but purchase internet leads number 5 for us.
CoverWallet for agents will actually give free leads every time you bind a policy. So if you bind a policy, you get so many free leads to help grow your agency.
That's awesome. I love that. Excellent. I'm glad you brought that up. Number 4 was presentations and events, live speaking opportunities in groups, display booths at trade shows, conference calls, webinars, podcasts, Facebook and LinkedIn live events. So events was a big deal for us, presentation and events. And that's number 4. You know, when we were coming up in the industry, I think they used to call them like red zone or something like that, where you'd have a dinner and you'd invite people out. Well, now social networking and technology has made it so you can have an event anytime you want. If I wanted to do a Facebook live right now and invite 1,000 of my closest friends, I could do that. If I wanted to do a webinar and invite a close, 1,000 of my closest friends, I could do that. So guys, you have no excuse. Even sitting at your desk, you can still host an event or do a presentation. You don't just have to aggressively wait on the phone to ring. Okay, that's what this is, basically, John. We're hosting, you and I are hosting an event right now. All right, number 3 was current customer cross-sells. So going in, the gold is already in your book. It's just a matter of you getting in and there working it. And if you utilize pets, going back to pets, if you set up your phone, postal mail, events, email, text messaging, and social networking, and you reach back to your current customers and notify them, hey, you've got weaknesses, you've got issues. And one of the deals, without getting too deep into it, the reason why agents don't do that is they don't have standards. In all of our agencies, we establish minimum recommended coverage standards. And anything that falls below that standard, you're going to get a decline coverage form. Because we recommend this, and you chose something less than this, I need you to electronically sign this form that says you are not meeting what we recommended. That does so much, John. That probably accounts for 30 cents of every dollar that we make from a current customer is the declined coverage form. So the current customer cross-sell, policy weakness campaigns, all those, that's number 3 for us.
That takes a lot of courage as an agent. I keep saying that you take 2 things to start a business, courage and ignorance. And on the courage side, the first time I said no to a client, I may have seemed a very authoritative at the moment, but underneath my desk, my knees were shaking. And what's funny is the client said, you know what? You're right. I need, this is the type of insurance I need. And even people that I left would have been more problematic. And sometimes the best deal you do is the one you don't.
Right. If you know a problem child is headed down the street, you don't adopt that problem child. I mean, that's just, you know, unless you're equipped for that. And most agents are not equipped to really deal with those type of problems. So yeah, that decline coverage form is a huge thing. Like I said, I could do a whole training on just the decline coverage form. In fact, I have. By the time you guys see this or listen to this podcast, I will have my audiobook store up on our website at inspirenation.org. And we're taking podcasts, webinars, content that I've created, and we're turning it into audio, because a lot of folks, they may not want to commit financially to joining the mentoring program, but they do want pieces and they want, you know, parts of what we have to offer. So I'm turning a lot of our content into audiobooks and being able to deliver those audiobooks, you know, for $9.95, $12.95, whatever that is, based on what the content was. So that's something that by the time your listeners listen to this, if they just go out to inspirenation.org, they'll probably be able to find an audiobook that's really in line with what they're looking for, so that they don't necessarily have to sign up for the whole big program in one shot.
One of the things I notice is as insurance people, we're afraid to invest in our business. We will skip over a dollar to try and save a dime. And that's universal. It was a big shock for me to realize that sometimes, you know what? You need to invest in your business. What would happen if you didn't maintain your car or you didn't invest in gasoline for your car? How long would you be able to run? Yet it seems like that's a big fear for the business owners out there, especially now as we're trying to get back into profitability, that sometimes you need to invest in your business and invest in the marketing. I mean, people aren't going to buy from you if they don't trust you and they don't know who you are.
Well, the problem is most insurance agencies start underfunded. Just be honest, they start underfunded. And then when they actually start making money, they're so busy trying to pay off their personal bills. You know, they go move in the big house, they buy the big car, they do all this other stuff. So their personal bills are eating up the money that should flow back into the company. And so that's why I try to make sure that we have some products that are not thousands of dollars and all this kind of stuff. So that at least if they just got a sliver of something that'll make them better, they'll be able to do more. A lot of it falls back to the four disciplines, you know, self-discipline, accountability, automation, technology, and outsourcing. What's made more millionaires in the United States than any other thing? It's 401ks. Why do 401ks work? Because they're automated. Because if that money was in your hand first and then you had to deposit it, it would never make it to the bank. But because it's automated and it's taken out before you ever see it, your savings can grow. So automation and technology is still helping to fund, fuel a lot of the wealth in this country. And again, some people just don't have the self-discipline. That's where the other three disciplines come in. Maybe it's accountability. Maybe it's your accountant. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's whatever, holding you accountable, your business partner, holding you accountable for not making dumb decisions. Maybe it's automation and technology. Like I said, having a savings where it's automatically taken out of your account, put into another account, and you can't touch it, you know? Or maybe it's outsourcing it where you do have a bookkeeper or someone else who manages it for you, because it has to come out of your hands. It's dynamite. In somebody else's hands, it's gold. So it all falls under those four types of discipline, any way you look at it. So let me go back. We're on number three, current customer cross-sell policy weakness campaigns. That's number three. Number two, Google My Business. Now, this is free. I think, you know, I talked about this, gentleman. I said the top three ways to grow your agency are 100% free, but most agents don't do anything with it. So number three, current customer cross-sell and policy weakness campaigns, which is the decline coverage form and things like that. Number two, Google My Business. This is your local search results, how you're listed, your description. Are you on Google Maps? And do you have reviews? And how many reviews do you have out there? If people are looking for home insurance and they happen to come across your website or they come across your listing on Google, what separates you from anyone else? What makes you memorable? Well, if you've got 800 reviews and someone else has three reviews, you're memorable. They're going to click on that and they're going to look at that. If you're on Maps, if you're listed on the top three of Google Maps, you're going to get clicked on. That's what people click on, the top three of Google Maps. And what's so funny, when we're looking for a service business, people click on the map listing before they click on the organic or the paid listing. So if you're looking for auto insurance and you pull it up, the first thing you're going to see are all the big boys, right? The Allstates, the Liberty Mutuals, the State Farms, the Nationwides, all, you know, all those, the Geicos, the Progressives. That's what you're going to see on the paid section at the top of the page. Most people don't click on that. Most people scroll down until they get to the maps. And then when they get to the map, they look at the top three listed on the map and they tend to click on that more, right? So how do you get on the top three of the map? Well, reviews are a big part of that. Google loves to put popular things in front of people. Google's job is to take questions that you have and find answers on the people that are using Google. So that means if I see a review and I've got 55 star reviews out there, I'm figuring they probably can answer a question that the person with one star review can't. So it's still content and all that kind of stuff. But Google My Business, going in and making sure that's right and that that's set up the way it's supposed to be, especially your local search results, listings, categories, descriptions of your business, hours that you're open, are you on maps, and do you have reviews? So that's number two. And all that's free. Doesn't cost you anything. Number one, business referral partners. Business referral partners. People sending you business. Now, there are four types of referral partners. There are direct referrals, which is this person or this company or this profession is sending business directly to you. But there are also networking partners. These are people who put you in front of their network. Maybe you're on stage. Maybe you get to go to an association or even a small meeting and you get to talk in front of that meeting. Well, the person who invited you or the group that invited you, they are a referral partner. They're just a networking referral partner. They put you in front of their network. Then there are branding partners. Branding partners are people who share your content, or share your marketing materials or your expertise. Maybe they don't put you in front of a group, but they did write you a review. So I've got this big company in a city and he's one of my customers or she's one of my customers. And I asked them to go out and write a review for me. Well, now when someone looks at that company, it's going to show all of their history of what they're doing on Google. And someone sees, oh, they wrote a review for their insurance agent. Well, guess what? That person became a branding partner. That company became a branding partner. So that's something that's really critical. And then finally, number four of those, of the business referral partners, is a resource partner. This is someone who shares in the marketing costs, someone who provides you things that can help to spread your brand. Now, John, you're probably at that age, like I am, where you remember the old community welcome wagons. When you used to move into a neighborhood and somebody would come by with a basket, you know, and they tell you, oh, this is the plumber that lives in the area, and this is the electrician that lives in the area, and here's some, you know, some summer sausage for you, and here's, you remember that, the old welcome wagon?
Oh, yeah, we used to put together baskets. I had several other resource partners, and we'd build up a basket with mortgage agents and real estate agents and insurance. We would all partner that together and welcome the newest move into the neighborhood.
Right. And so that's a resource. Four types of business referral partners. First and foremost, business referral partners are the number one marketing campaign an insurance agent should focus on. Number one. And then there are four types of referral partners. There's a direct referral partner. We all know about the loan folks and the mortgage folks and the property managers and all those kind of, you know, the CPAs. We know about that. But don't forget your networking. Who is allowing you to speak in front of their group? And it doesn't even have to be live speaking. It can be you doing a joint webinar. Just like you're now my networking partner because you've invited me in to speak to your network of people that CoverWallet talk. And those folks are going to know who I am, where somebody else may not have had that opportunity. So you're now my networking partner with that. And then for your networking partners, your branding partner, people that just share information about you with other folks. Maybe they don't let you speak, but they do share information. And then finally, resource partner, where you can share or cost share in the market behind things. So those are the top 20 verified, proven, tracked ways of generating business. And this is from a $1.3 billion organization. And we just opened our cupboard and shared with you what is working for us.
That is a lot of information to take in. Can you remind us, if our agents want to learn more and get involved, what's the best way to contact you to arrange that?
Yeah, you're not going to contact me because, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm the CEO of a company and you can't necessarily give me a call on the phone. It's not going to work. But you can go to our site, inspireanation.org. inspireanation.org. We've got a lot of free resources out there, a lot of free tools that are out there. Of course, we have our paid things as well, like our books, and we have our membership program. And a lot of this, you almost need the membership program because there is a lot of information and there are a lot of resources and a lot of tools and a lot of everything. So how do we break that down for you and give you access to that? That's why we have our mentoring membership program that we do that. But I can tell you this, when we look at cost, there's nobody in the industry that offers what we offer at the price. And that's not a sales pitch. That's just reality. So I always tell folks, look around. You don't have to come to us. Look around. Go to the this and the this and all these other places and look at what they charge and then come to our site and look at what we charge and realize we don't make our money selling mentorships. We make our money as an investment group. The mentorship is so we can help groom the agencies that one day we hope to invest in. So for us, it's a lead magnet, the agencies that we want to invest in, which is why we can let it go at such a moderate price compared to these guys that are trying to live their lifestyle off of selling you consulting services. So, but inspirenation.org.
Thank you, Dr. Belli. We appreciate you joining the Insurance Huddle. And agents, a good thing is we have covered a lot of information and there's a lot of gold in this conversation. And through the use of modern technology, guess what? You get to listen to it again. So thank you for joining us and welcome to the huddle. That's it for this edition of the Insurance Huddle. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, be sure to check out our Facebook page and Medium blog, linked in the description box down below for more great resources. This podcast has been brought to you by CoverWallet for Agents, the easiest way for insurance agents to quote, bind, and service their small business clients. All online and in minutes. Check us out at coverwalletforagents.com.